Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Hello, Paul Velleman to talk about Chapter 6. Chapter 6 introduces the normal model, and models in general. We also explore the importance of the standard deviation as a universal yardstick in statistics. It'll be pretty easy for you to see where we're going with these ideas, but it's best not to distract students with the advanced concepts that they're not ready for yet. We'll establish important principles now. We'll get to the more advanced application of these principles in due time. So one of the key points in this chapter is not to say more than we're ready for. 1. Talk about models. The first model for data that we'll see is the normal model. To quote George Box, all models are wrong, but some are useful. No data are ever normally distributed. Be careful not to say normally distributed data or normal data. But when data are roughly unimodal and symmetric, the normal model may provide some useful insights. Saying normal model emphasizes the difference between the distribution of the data and a theoretical model for that distribution. Make students justify their use of the normal model with a histogram that's unimodal and symmetric, or a reasonably straight normal probability plot. 2. Spend time with the 68-95-99.7 rule. Have students draw and label models to help them develop a feel for what the standard deviation tells them about distributions for which normal models are appropriate. Don't be in a great rush to get to tables or technology. You may have seen this rule called the empirical rule, and in fact it was first observed empirically rather than from a mathematical derivation, but we think calling it the 68-95-99.7 rule is more useful because that carries the important numbers. 3. Make a picture. Every problem students do that involves a normal model, including all the exercises that ask them to use z-scores to determine relative frequencies, means, standard deviations, or cutoffs, needs an accompanying picture. Students will understand what they're doing sooner and spot errors more easily if you insist on this. And we'll insist on it later in the book when we work with models that require normally distributed data or errors. Glance ahead at the step-by-steps in Chapter 23, for example. 4. Have students work with z-scores. Understanding what a z-score is and developing a feel for how z-scores relate to relative frequencies are skills that provide valuable insights into much of what we do later in the course, including correlation, regression, confidence intervals, and hypothesis testing. 5. Don't say probability. We talk about relative frequencies or areas under a curve. You and I both know these are probabilities, but it's best not to say so yet. We'll get to probability, but not for a number of chapters yet. We don't have a good place for students to hang the concepts they'll need. 6. Use geometric or algebraic intuition. With a little thought, students will see how changes in scale affect summary statistics. It boils down to whether we're merely shifting the data, a translation, or rescaling it, a dilation. Translating any geometric shape or a function to the left or the right leaves an object of the same size, but just positioned somewhere else. The same is true of a distribution of data. Think about a histogram. Sliding it a few units to the left or the right relocates the center, the maximum, the minimum, and the quartiles, but it leaves the size, the spread, the same. A dilation of a triangle or a function from the origin both relocates it and changes its size. A rescaling of a histogram, therefore, resizes everything about it, now including its spread. 7. Don't say density. We have, in fact, introduced a normal density, but that formal concept isn't actually needed in this course. By contrast, the concept of a model is fundamental. Push that term instead. Discussing the normal model reminds students of its function in this course as an idealized model. 8. Don't say critical value, or for that matter, be drawn into testing in any way. We'll get there. But for now, we have fundamental concepts to settle in. It really helps when students can live with these concepts for a while before we hit them with full-fledged inference, although you'll see us encouraging them to think in that direction. 9. Emphasize the usefulness of standard deviations as units of measurement. It's commonly said that one can't compare apples to oranges, but actually we can. All it takes is a standard deviation. An apple and an orange might each weigh 12 ounces. But if that makes the apple 2 standard deviations above the mean weight for apple, while the orange is only 1 standard deviation above the mean weight for oranges, then the apple is comparatively bigger. Most students know this intuitively. The idea that we can standardize deviations from mean values is very powerful, and it's essential to the rest of statistics. You'll want to spend enough time working on this idea to be sure students grasp the concept, not just the mechanics. Just finding a z-score of -1.5 isn't enough. Have students tell you that such and such is 1.5 standard deviations below the mean. 10. Emphasize the standard deviation as a ruler. This is a concept that comes back over and over. We'll see it throughout the rest of the book. Whenever we ask how big, how different, how steep, or any other quantitative question, we'll look for a standard deviation to measure with. Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.